Hi, my friends at the SOTUS Bible Baptist Church. I want to take a minute here at the city of Saigon to thank you for a couple of things. I want to thank you first for your many years of helping us in the ministry here. And I also want to thank you for two times now you've allowed your pastor, Pastor Jay, to come and be a real blessing. He does really well here, the people love him, and we have a good influence together, and it's a real blessing. So I know it's I take him away from you, but I do appreciate it, and your work is not in vain here in Vietnam. We do a good job, and we thank God that we could serve together. God bless you, and I want to give a shout out to Marianne. Marianne, I'm hungry. Bye-bye.
That's an inside joke with Marianne.
Yeah. You have to share that with you over a piece of banana bread. Well, good morning. This morning, I want to just kind of talk to you a little bit about my trip to Vietnam, take you on that trip with me, since many of you in this room would not want to be in a plane as long as I was, and I want to share some things that God taught me. I want to bring you to one verse this morning to start with. If you, go ahead, Carolyn, you can bring that.
Acts chapter 15 and verse 4 says this, when they would be Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, excuse me, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and by the apostles and the elders to whom they reported everything God had done through them. So this is really what I'm doing this morning. You sent me, at least some of you did, sent me to Vietnam. Thankfully, you didn't send me one way. You allowed me to purchase a round-trip ticket. And so I'm here to just to report a little bit about that trip, because here's what happens. It's a wonderful thing in a church setting. Like I alluded to earlier, many of you, for a number of different reasons, would never find yourself on a missions trip to Vietnam, and I understand that. But this is the wonderful thing that happened. You have been giving to missions, our missions budget, and so what you did is you invested in me so I could invest in our missionary and the people of Vietnam. So it really comes back to you as a church. Even though you were not able to physically be there, you invested in me investing in other people. So you have part of that. And you're going to hear a little bit later on from some folks from Vietnam who are going to thank you for that opportunity for me to go and invest in them. And they realize that you sent me. And even Paul alluded to that. He, I don't know if it's because of Vietnam itself, but he said to me that I'm the only pastor that ever asked to go back a second time. I don't know what that means. It could be just I forget after a while. It's been 3 years. And maybe 3 years from now I'll forget, oh, I think I want to go back again. And then once I get there, I go, what am I doing here? So I'm thankful for that. And I know that you prayed as I was gone. And I really appreciate that. And so I want you to just to join with me in a few things. I want to talk about the challenges of Vietnam. Then I want to talk to you about the people that I was able to encounter there. And then some of the lessons I learned. Because It's challenging. I know you may think, well, as a pastor, you'll go any place and it'll be easy for you. It's really not that easy for us just because we're called a pastor to go and be away from our family and to travel. It's really not that easy. First of all, I think, go ahead, Carolyn, you can bring up the next slide. That's the big plane I was on. The plane ride, I don't get used to this, just so you know. That was 16 hours in that particular plane. And there's no outside, you know, gazebo. Well, there is. But, you know what I'm saying? So it's total, we're in a plane for about 21 hours. And I try to be a good person, try not to get irritable and be calm and everything. And it's okay. But I just, you know, that's one of the challenges. After I get back from Vietnam, any other trip I take, like from here to New York City, I basically close my eyes and we're there. So this is not always easy. And it's 11 hours ahead there. So on the way there, you lose a day. And on the way back, you gain a day. We left at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning from Taiwan and got into Rochester 10:30 the same day. My body was rebelling. And I had to make sure when I was there to calculate when I tried to Skype Pam or FaceTime Pam to make sure I had the right hours, because she is as nice as our relationship. She didn't want to hear from me at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I wanted to make sure how to do that. So that was one of the things. Another thing that was a challenge for me, I'm just being honest with you, was the food. The food was a challenge for me. I tried something new just for you folks. This is sushi. Sushi is not part of my life. But this isn't just sushi. The top of that is octopus. I had it. Not going to have it again. I was told by them, and it was accurate, that eating octopus is like eating an eraser. Just rubbery, no flavor whatsoever. Now, if you're an octopus fan, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying you can have it. It's all yours. So the food was a little bit of a challenge. Even McDonald's was a challenge. Oh, wait, sorry. I skipped that. Grace, you're good there. I skipped this one. Here's what happened. Food challenge. We traveled 5 hours to go to a location to do a seminar that I'll talk about. And we went to this pastor's house. And he said to me, "I have a surprise for you for dinner." He doesn't really know me that well, but he's like, "I got a big dinner planned for you, a big surprise." Okay, great. So, sit down, huge plates of crab. Now, some of you are going, I want you to keep in mind, I don't like seafood. So, plates of crab, big surprise. Then, clams came out. Then, some more seafood came out. And then, he brought this giant pot with a cover on it and put it right in front of me. And he was so excited, and he lifted off the lid, and I'm thinking there's going to be a head in there or something. But no, it was the biggest catfish I've ever seen in my life, wrapped around the whole, head and all, wrapped around the whole thing. And the guy who raised the catfish was right across from me, beaming from ear to ear. 3 years he raised that catfish. They steamed it that day just for me. So we could have fish tacos. Oh! So I took the rice paper, which is stiff, you put it in water, and I put some catfish in there, and I got it down. And I'm like, "Everybody enjoy. This is wonderful. Pass it around." Because that thing was looking right at me, thinking, "I died in vain for you." That was a challenge. The funniest thing was, as we're eating this seafood bonanza, Paul leans over to me and says, "Do you hate me?" No. McDonald's was even a challenge. We went there once. You can get chicken with rice, or pork with rice, or a McSpicy chicken with rice. I had enough rice. All right, so that was a little bit of a challenge. So finally, towards the end of our trip, they took us to a steak restaurant, authentic American steak restaurant. So I ordered the small steak because I thought, I don't need a big steak. I'll just have a small steak. Here's what it was. Woo! That right there on the left is the steak. If you can picture a piece of paper, that's about it. And with this giant steak order came that one little baked potato, 2 green beans, 2 carrots, whatever they could salvage from ear of corn, and 2 cauliflower. I was so hungry, I even ate the cauliflower. So, food can be a challenge. But do you still go sometimes? You know what you do. Here's another challenge of Vietnam. We mainly stayed in the city of Saigon. Saigon is a beautiful city. Go ahead, Carolyn. It's a beautiful city, but there's some challenges with Saigon. First of all, the temperature. going from the lovely early spring, late spring, no spring that we had here, it was about 94, 95 degrees with high humidity. And Saigon is not known for its clean air, so a lot of people wear masks, and so that's a little bit different. It's also crowded, I think, did I give you? Yeah, it's crowded. There's 8.6 million people in Saigon. And it's also really loud in Saigon because they have, listen to this, 7.4 million registered motorbikes just in the city of Saigon. And it's estimated on a daily basis, 8 million motorbikes work their way through Saigon. You don't really know what that's like, so I thought I'd give you a little glimpse. Go ahead, Carolyn. All right, it gives you a little bit of an idea. And all those were filmed by me while on the back of a motorbike trying not to die, okay? So, and everything, there's a key word in Vietnam when it comes to the traffic, it's called merge. Everything is about merging. And it's really loud, everybody honks their horn all the time, so you kind of have to get used to that. So I'm just saying to you, wherever you may go at times, there's some challenges. There's challenges in your neighborhood. You have some loud neighbors. I mean, we do. I mean, so the idea is it's not just Vietnam, but when we're trying to serve the Lord and he kind of sends us out someplace, we're going to face some challenges. So I want you to know that as your pastor, I faced some of those, and that was part of it. So what exactly did I do? You invested a lot of money and me being able to go. So what exactly did I do? Well, first thing I did is I really spent some time trying to encourage Paul. I do not know why we do this or this. I really have no idea. The Vietnamese do it in all their pictures, and we just did it. I just followed Paul. I have no idea. But I know that he often travels over there by himself, so to have somebody with him is an encouragement. Plus, we support him as a missionary, and so he's encouraged to do that. And I told him on a number of occasions that Vietnam is one of those countries I would never travel to without him, because he speaks the language. And I really don't. And that cab ride could be really scary. I don't know where I might end up. So I'm just glad to be able to do that. Another thing that I did while I was there, I was able to spend some time encouraging some Vietnamese partners. This young lady, Sarah, on the left, you'll hear from her in just a moment. That's her brother, Phu. And so I spent some time talking to them. They work behind the scenes, helping Paul with some stuff. And so I was able to meet and encourage them. This was really a fun night. Because you don't see that from the picture, but let me explain to you. We played the game Codenames, but these two are basically learning English. So if you're familiar with Codenames, where you give clues about words, it was kind of fun. Playing with Phu, it was interesting because he had no idea what we were talking about at times. So that was just interesting. So let me just play a little bit. Let me just introduce you to Sarah.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Greetings from Vietnam. My name is Sarah. My Vietnamese name is Châu, C-H-A-U. It's my honor to be here and talk a little bit about myself. Teacher Paul and Pastor Che is in Vietnam now, and it's my pleasure to know them, and it's a blessing to be a part of their project. And if you want to get to know about myself, about me, I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher. I teach English at home as a tutor. I also translate the materials, you know, biblical books from the pastors in the U.S. I translate into Vietnamese. I start every day with a prayer. A chapter from the Bible. I pray God and I thank God every morning for a new day. And I'm thankful for what He has done in my life. 10 years ago, I didn't know what I would want to do in the future. And I asked myself, would I want to be a worker, or would I find a job and make a lot of money and have a good life like many people wish? But I know that I want to serve God, so I made a prayer and I asked Him for His guidance. And yes, He answered my request, my prayer. And He sent Teacher Paul Scott to Vietnam, and I met him in English class. From then, I fall in love with English, and I practice every day. I was a student, but now I am a teacher, and I translate many materials. I also help Teacher Paul and his friends, the pastors, when they come to Vietnam and they want to do the project, they want to go and preach to the Vietnamese people, and I prepare the materials, the presentations. I translate them into Vietnamese so the Vietnamese people can understand the lessons clearly. And it's a blessing and honor to be a part of the project. Thank you.
All right, so Sarah, I wanted you to meet Sarah. Sarah's a wonderful young lady, and she alluded to the fact that she used to be in Paul Scott's English class, but now she's an English teacher, so that's really a neat thing. And some of the teaching that I did, she translated all the materials from English into Vietnamese, and she translates books that U.S. pastors write and want in Vietnamese, so she's a very talented and young lady. I don't know if you caught that or not, but she really said, I could get a job and make a lot of money, but I'm really just looking how God wants me to serve Him. Wow, that's refreshing, because she's very talented. She really could make a lot of money. These two young ladies, Linda is on the left. Janet is on the right. Janet, the one on the right, works in the New Life Church that I was a part of visiting and part of their worship service. She helps to disciple the young ladies. Linda on the left is one of the leaders at the New Life Center. You're familiar with that because some of the cards are centered in there. Linda also is another solid young lady. And I wanted her to give an opportunity to kind of talk to you and thank you for your part in the ministry of New Life Center. So there's a little clip from Janet.
New Life Center is a safe place for our students, college students from the provinces of Vietnam come to Ho Chi Minh City to study. And New Life have provided them a very safe place, a good environment to learn at the university, and also to have a Christian community to fellowship and to build up their faith to become stronger. And I have been serving the Lord with New Life Center and also New Life Church since 2011. And I teach the Bible for the girls, and we also do English club as an outreach to non-Christians college students. Every week we have English club to invite them to come and they study English. And by that we build friendship with them, and we also step by step share the love of God for them because they haven't heard the gospel before. And I am very grateful because you and your church have been selling and also buying the cards that I am one of the coordinators in the process. And one of the way that we support the college student is we use that money to give the scholarships to students at New Life to encourage them to study well for the glory of God, and also to support myself a little bit in my finance when I volunteer to serve God. So I hope you know that we are very appreciate, we are thankful for your heart to care and to love us, and may God bless you abundantly. Thank you very much.
So again, hopefully you caught that we consider Linda to be one of our partners, because a portion of the sales, when you buy a card, a portion of the sales helps to support Linda so she can continue in her ministry at the New Life Center. So you directly impact her ministry and her life over there in Vietnam. And she, again, is doing a wonderful job. On the bottom left here, you can't see it super clear because I didn't have a great picture, but bottom left in the is Pastor Mon. Pastor Mon has been here at our church, and that is his wife Trang just above him. They both are partners that we work with. They run the New Life Center, and he's also the pastor of the New Life Church. So I was able to go there and encourage him. I'm going to give you a prayer request for you to be praying about, if you don't mind. They're looking to come to the States in November. And so in the next few weeks, they're going to have a visa interview. And hopefully they're going to get approved to be able to come. And if they are able to come to the States, they're going to spend a little bit of time with us, and you'll love to meet them. So pray for Mon and Trang. They're going to go through that process. It's not a guarantee that it'll be approved, but they would love to be a part of that. So I was able to meet some Vietnamese partners that we have. I was there. I was also able to encourage some Vietnamese believers. I've got a couple slides here. One night after something we had at the New Life Center, we spent some time with some college students here, some girls here, and you can go to the next slide, and then there's some college guys, and we just went out for, everybody goes out for coffee, so I just go out for water, so everybody goes out for coffee, and so we just were able to sit down. It was so neat because we had no agenda, but there was these seven or eight college students. It was Paul Scott and myself, and we just let them ask us questions. And their questions are pretty intense. They're pretty deep, pretty serious. But they love the interaction. So one of the things that you allowed me to do was to be able to interact with these Vietnamese Christians and to encourage them. So thank you. I know that it meant a lot to them. Another thing that I did was I was a part of the English Club. And this is English Club takes place on Saturday mornings. This is a huge outreach for the ministry, the New Life Center, because a lot of the students that come to the English Club are not Christians. It's a really big draw to teach English, because they want to learn that. So I was able to spend some time with this group. You can go to the next slide. I also had some fun because we did question and answer, where I was asking them questions, and then they had to respond in English, and we had a good time doing that. And we also, we taught them through music. And one of the things I did before that Linda asked me to do again, she said, I want you to put a song together and teach them English. So I said, well, can you give me a song? So she gave me a really simple song, but it helped them to learn English. And I want you to just get a glimpse. And I know you're going to think it's kind of hokey. It's not hokey. It's helping them to learn English. But I thought you'd appreciate this. Here we go. Okay, so I know it's a simple song, but think about you learning that in Vietnamese. So they liked learning that in English. It was simple for them. Another thing is the New Life, the English Club, has a slogan: better English, better life, greater influence. That's their kind of their motto, their slogan. So again, Linda, I don't know why she did this to me. She said, hey, do you have some music you could put together to the slogan, so we could learn it as a song? I go, sure. I didn't come up with anything creative as far as brand new, but here it is. Here's the slogan, debuted 2018 in Vietnam. Go ahead.
Better English, better English, greater life, better life, greater, greater influence, greater, greater influence, try your best, try
one more time.
Better English, better English, greater life, better, better influence, try your best, try your best.
Okay, that was it. So now you're like, oh, that's nice, Pastor Jay. Can I get a CD? Yes, those two songs will be available next week. But for them, that was just a way for them to learn the motto of that. Also, not only the English club, but on Sunday morning, I was able to preach at New Life Church. This is the meal that we had afterwards. Loved being a part of that and doing that. And probably the most time was invested on my part in a pastor seminar. These are some of the pastors that came. We drove 5 hours to a seacoast location to teach these pastors, to encourage them, and just to kind of build them up in their faith. And so we spent some time. We had a teaching time. We had some worship time with other things. But they love to worship. And sometimes I knew the song, sometimes I didn't. I never knew the Vietnamese part of it. But I want you to hear a little glimpse of their worship, because around the world, guess what? God doesn't need a translator. He understands the worship. Go ahead. Oh, sorry. This is where we were for the seminar. I'll explain that in a moment, why that was important to them. Actually, you know what? I'm going to explain it now. Ooh, that's nice. You can go to the next one. Thank you. Sorry, Carolyn. We worked on this all morning long. Not really. Some of you may be thinking, oh, really? That's where we sent Pastor Jay? That's how we invested our money? Yes. But these pastors, many of them came from the countryside where they have no inside plumbing. And they're the only one of maybe four or five Christians for miles. So they rarely see other pastors. They rarely see a sunset like that. And so on purpose, we paid for them to be able to go for just 2 days and relax. And to sit down with other pastors and just talk about ministry. Paul said early in the morning, he would find them out on the beach. Most of them didn't know how to swim, so they'd only go up to their waist and they would splash each other and giggle and laugh and just push each other into the water. And Paul said that's exactly what they needed. And this was a beautiful place, but it was meant to encourage them. And so thank you for investing in allowing me to do that with them, because they needed it. And where they live out in the country, they're at higher risk for the police to come and bother them, because let me remind you that Vietnam is a communist country and Christianity is still not totally welcome there. So these men and their wives really needed the time together. Many of them brought their wives. They loved it. We wouldn't allow them to cook. We provided the meals for them, so this was good. I think the next is the worship. Go ahead. Oh, see, I don't have my things in front of me. These are some of the things that they did. They just talked for hours with each other. I just smiled because I had no idea what they were saying. All right, so are we? Go ahead. Am I missing a video here? No. Here we go. So that was just a portion of the video of them worshiping together. I did that for two reasons. I want you to see that that's part of what we did when we were there. Also want you to know, because I was there, they sing to each other, even though some of them don't sing as well as each other. You with me? So I encourage you to keep doing that, because some of them didn't quite get there on the notes. But that was okay. But they just sing to each other and sing to the Lord. So we're encouraging this around the world. One of the things I was able to do, my main part there was to teach some seminars for them. We taught about relationships. We taught them about their relationship between them and God. Talked about discipleship, how they can disciple leaders. We talked about loneliness, because a lot of them are all by themselves. I also did a seminar with them about how to deal with difficult people. They got a kick out of that, because they realized that every church has difficult people. Christians have to interact with other Christians that are difficult at times. They were laughing about that. Ha ha, you have that in America? Yes, we do. And so talk to them about that. We also talked to them about their health. We did a health seminar, and then we talked about wealth. And so that was just a great time investing in these folks. It was wonderful. And probably the most moving thing to me was at the end, the last day in the morning, they gave testimonies. And they just praised God for allowing them to be there, to be able to relax. They praised God for being able to connect with each other as believers, other pastors and their wives. And then they talked about what God was teaching them through the seminar times. And so that was an encouragement because we wanted to make sure we connected with them. So this was just a great time to do that. Now I want to finish up this morning with just some reflections about what I learned, some things I learned. And then you have a handout that has just three things that I'm going to allude to in just a moment. If you want to fill it in, you can. But I learned from people. I learned lessons from people. Here's the first person. Her name is Spring. I don't know if that's her Vietnamese name, but often they give themselves American names to help us out. So her name is Spring. Spring is recently a follower of Christ, recently saved. She is the only believer in a Buddhist home. She's a resident of New Life Center. So she lives there when she goes to school. Her home is a ways away from the New Life Center. So recently there was a school break and she went back home. Home where she's the only believer. As the story was told to me, before she went back to New Life Center, her brother beat her and told her, "You will not go back. You will not go back to that New Life Center where they teach you about Jesus. You will stay here. You will not go back." Obviously, from the picture, Spring chose to go back at great risk to herself. Amazing. So I have some reflections I want you to think about. Some are questions, some are statements. Here's the first thing that Spring taught me in the form of a question. Here it is. What does it take to slow me down in my walk with God? I don't want to be confrontational, but I will. For some of us, it's, I got the sniffles. Can't really read my Bible today. Got a little bit under the weather, and we're like, oh, I don't know if I can make it to church. What does it take to slow me down in my walk with God? I'm tired. I'm getting some pushback from people. I'm getting pushback from family members or some school people or people in my neighborhood or people are not respecting my faith. And I just know in my life, I'm just being honest, I'm soft. I am soft. What does it take to slow me down? What does it take to slow you down in your walk with God? This young lady was being threatened. She was beaten by her own brother who said, "Don't you dare go back." She said, "I have to go back." What does it take to slow us down? What are the excuses that we use to stop pursuing God the way we should? I don't know what they are. I know that we have them. When it's not popular, we don't want to get too radical in our faith. What does it take to slow us down? What does it take to slow you down in your faith? It takes a lot to slow them down. They're not perfect. They have their challenges. But this young lady, she was scared. She was intimidated. But man, she just followed through. I couldn't believe it. It was just very much a rebuke to me about what it takes to slow me down in my walk with God. What do you think? I don't know. There's a second person that I learned from. Her name is Helen. She's a cutie. The Vietnamese young people look a lot younger than they are. She looks like she's about 12. I think she's 25. I know. Some of the ladies in the room here would not like Vietnam because I had not seen a wrinkle in Vietnam. Their skin is just so smooth, and you'd be like, And I don't think they put anything on their face. So this young lady, Helen, again, she's the only believer in her house. Very traditional Vietnamese home. She's a follower of Christ. And here's the question she asked me, the American pastor. Thank you for asking this question. My parents, according to Vietnamese tradition, want to force me to marry an unbeliever. But I want to honor my parents because I love them. What do I do, Pastor Jay? My, how the time has gone. So we talked through that, talking about that honor is one thing, but also honoring God is a greater call. But she was wrestling with this, not because of, she had no hint of rebellion in her heart. In her heart, she wanted to please God and honor her parents. And they were looking to force her to marry an unbeliever. And in that country, it happens all the time. So what do you do? So we talked through this, and I think she's kind of made up her mind the way she's going to go. She's going to trust God for the outcome and kind of push back a little bit about this and trust God and obey God. That's the right thing to do, right? Easy? Absolutely not. She loves her parents. And they think it's just downright disrespectful. So here's what I learned from Helen. In the real world, because that's the one you live in, obedience to God is not always the easy choice, but it's always the best choice. It's not always the easy choice, but it's the best choice. I really don't care what season of life you find yourself in. All of us will face choices about whether we're going to obey God or not. And if we're looking for the easy way out, it's not always going to be the best way. I think about our own young people, not only in our church, but in churches around the United States. Our own young people who say they are followers of Christ. Listen, it's not about the easy choice. It's about the right choice. Is it important who you marry? Absolutely. Well, God will understand if I marry someone who doesn't love him. I don't think so. And we all have choices to make at work and our relationships with other people. Yes, we do, correct? Is it always the easy choice? No. But in the real world, it's not always about that. It's about making the best choice of obedience. Here's why I was so convicted. Because I know in my own life I can take the easy way out. And if I was to have that conversation with Helen, she would look at me and go, "Why'd you do that?" And I would feel really bad. You know what I'm saying? Because here she is facing a real choice, and she's like, she's really struggling with it. And if I shared times when I took the easy way out, she'd go, "Pastor Jay, why'd you do that?" "Well, Helen, it was the easy way." And she'd be like, "Well, I know that. But the easy way is not always the best way." So in your life, all the way from Vietnam to SOTUS, New York, what are the choices that God is asking you to make of obedience, and how are you making them? Are you looking for the easy way? Because it's not easy. You're facing difficulty and stress and pushback from others, and maybe you're the only believer in your family or one of few, and you're not really favorably received. Guess what? It's going to be a hard choice to obey God. But it's the best one. Absolutely the best one, right? It is. One more person that I learned from. Tunan. Tunan. T-U-N-A-A-N. Tunan. He didn't give me an English alternative. Tunan, I know this is going to sound redundant, but it happens a lot. Tunan is the only believer in a very influential Buddhist home. Only believer. Smart young man. He's already gone through university, has a job working kind of an IT position. So I asked him about what he wanted to do with his life, and he said, "You know, I like what I'm doing, but I want to go back to school, and I want to become a lawyer." Sounds good, doesn't it? And then I asked him, "Why do you want to become a lawyer?" And you might expect someone to say, maybe even in Vietnam, I want to become a lawyer because it's a good paying job and I can make some money. Yes? I mean, they could do it. So, but that's not what he said. He said, I want to become a lawyer and work in the corrupt government of Vietnam so I can show the light of the gospel. Come again? Vietnam has a really corrupt government. He wants to become a lawyer and work in the government so he can show the light of the gospel. I kind of looked at him and said, could you say that one more time? Yes, I want to become a lawyer to work in the corrupt government so I can show the light of the gospel. Wow. Here's what I learned from Thu Nhan. The question, how can I leverage my life best for God's glory and his kingdom? You know what? It's really not totally about what you do, as long as what you do is not sinful. What you do for a living, you all have different occupations, or some of you are retired or are students. You have different seasons of life. You're with me here? Can you see me? Everybody up here? I know without the lights on, some of you can take a little nap. God has placed you all in different places, correct? And if you're a follower of Christ, that's great. God wants all this place. But here's the deal. You and I have to wrestle with this question all the time. How can I leverage my life for God's glory? Not for Pastor Jay's best, not for your best or someone else's best. How can I leverage my life for God's glory? That's what this young man was saying. I didn't say to him, don't become a lawyer. That'd be a waste. No, become the best lawyer you can be and leverage that to be the gospel light in the government. So if you're here and you're a teacher, keep being a teacher, but leverage that for Jesus. If you're here and you're retired, man, leverage your retirement for Jesus. What that means is if God gives you the ability and the physical strength, don't sit at home in your recliner all the time, counting your retirement dollars, or as they fly away, whatever that may be. If God has given you strength, leverage your retirement for his kingdom. You with me? And whatever God has, if you're a student, leverage being a student for God's kingdom. How do I do that? This young man was brilliant. He could have a very wealthy future if he chose, but he said, it's not really about the money. It's about using what God has given to me for his glory and for his kingdom. That's what you and I need to do. This would be something that Thu Nhan would have brought with him to say to you this morning. All right? And so let me just close up in this way. Thank you again for allowing me to go to Vietnam 2018. I would tell you right up front, Vietnam is not for everyone. As a matter of fact, if I took a little straw poll here about how many of you would not want to go, some of you would be like, okay, if this was enough today, thank you. It's not for everyone, but this is for everyone, being stretched by God. Every follower of Christ should be stretched by God. No matter where you are, no matter what season of life, God wants to stretch you. Let me give you a couple questions just to think about on the way out. Carolyn, do I have the questions on the slides? I don't know if I do. Okay, good, then I'll just say them. In your current season of life, here's the first question. In your current season of life, how is God stretching you out of your comfort zone? Think about that. In your current season of life, how is God stretching you out of your comfort zone? And then the second question is this. What is your willingness and trust level while you're being stretched? What's your willingness and trust level while you're being stretched? God wants to do that to you today. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close with a song. Opportunity for you to sing to each other again. Pam, do you mind coming? Is she in? Sorry, I didn't warn her about this. It's not really a warning. Carolyn, you can bring up the lights now. If you're light sensitive, you might want to close your eyes for a moment. You can bring all the... Oh, there we go. Warn you enough. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Third verse, and as you sing it, think about people like Helen and Spring and Tunon, and where God has you now in your life and your walk with Him.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, I still.
This morning, thank you for coming.